Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian. My co-host is Brian Johnson, as usual. And Brian, big Friday.
Yeah.
Big Friday. Lots of movement Friday. The huge trade between the San Francisco 49ers and the Miami Dolphins.
March Madness.
Yeah.
Some might call it.
I like it. It's the NFL version of March Madness. We're going to talk about all the ramifications of that trade. And then many of the other free agent moves that we deem worthy. Now, last week we did two positions. We did quarterbacks and wide receivers. This week we're going to do the free agent moves among running backs and tight ends. But we'll also fill in the blanks about new things that happened with last week's topic, the quarterbacks, well, primarily wide receivers. So lots to get to. Let's start with the crazy trade on Friday, though. The Niners give up this to move up from 12 to 3, 9 spots. They give up a first-round pick this year, first-round pick next year, first-round pick the year after that, this year's third-round pick. That's a ton of capital.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I can't imagine them giving any more you can't give more than that to make this kind of move. And so let's talk about the fallout. Let's start with the 49ers side of this. What do you think this means for 49ers and especially the young receiver group that they've got there?
Well, they've got a quarterback in mind, obviously, right? San Francisco.
They must like at least 3 quarterbacks in this draft. You could never make that trade.
And it's not going to be Trevor Lawrence. We know.
No.
And so it's really now it's Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, right?
Zach, don't rule out Trey Lance fast.
Or Trey Lance. So it's
mobility is very important for Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he loves to have those extended plays with the rolling quarterback.
Yeah, but they don't know who it's going to be. It's almost like they're ready to quote unquote settle for someone at 3, right? Whether it's one of
I don't think they view it that way. You can't give 3 first round picks if you're settling at quarterback, right?
Well, settling was for lack of better terms, but they don't know the quarterback's going to be available at 3. But
that's what I'm saying. They must like 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
They must feel like
it's Wilson,
any of those
Fields or
any
Lance.
Of three.
So
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know that Wilson's in this. We'll see.
For this year, I don't think it bodes extremely well for the receivers for the 49ers. Not like Jimmy Garoppolo is the starter. It makes me that much more excited. But I don't know. It's a big move, but it almost feels like a move for the future, not a win now move, because they're certainly mortgaging their future beyond this year.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But especially if they keep Garoppolo, like they say they're going to keep Garoppolo now, right? So within moments, this trade going down, all of a sudden, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Albert Breer, they're all reporting the same thing, which is, I'm hearing the Niners are going to hold Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, if that's the case, that tells me the Niners are still in like win now mode, and they're going to go to war with 2 quarterbacks in case one of them does not work out. They've got another guy. If this rookie isn't ready to make a Super Bowl run this year, they'll have Jimmy Garoppolo brought into a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, it's essentially a lateral move for George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, because Jimmy G likely to start the season. Then whatever rookie they draft, we assume he comes in at quarter point, midpoint of the season. It won't be a downgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo, probably. Maybe a slight upgrade. So it doesn't really move the needle for me when it comes to the 49ers, 49ers receivers, basically.
So I think what the Niners may be doing here, Brian, they just gave up 3 first-round picks to get out of starting Jimmy Garoppolo. So clearly Garoppolo's not in their long-term plans. I think they're going to be patient and wait and find out which quarterback blows out his ACL in training camp and then move Jimmy Garoppolo for as much equity as they can get.
Yeah, people, it's not quite the Herschel Walker trade, but Man, they gave up a
lot.
They
get a lot to move nine spots.
Or,
in
not
the
even
draft.
The Ricky Williams trade, which is below the Herschel Walker trade. But man, it's in that convo. It's in the ballpark. They better nail this pick.
It does feel like it. Now, from a dynasty standpoint, I love this for the young receiving group of the 49ers. For Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk, this is all great news.
And whoever they end up drafting the 49ers, that is the QB2 in your dynasty rookie drafts moving forward. I mean, yeah, it's Trevor probably. Lawrence is going to be the first one. But
and now this guy, because of the tools around him,
whoever the Jets take, no,
why
they're behind.
Whoa. Why not QB1? I get a Kyle Shanahan-coached team, which is very important. I get all of those great young receivers with him. Whoever goes here might be dynasty quarterback number one this year.
You might be right, but not like this year, but we'll turn into the QB1 from this class within a year or 2 years. Yeah. It's probably still going to be Trevor Lawrence
is the most talented, right? But he drops into arguably the worst position out of any of the first four quarterbacks that are going to be drafted. By the way, I think for the first time in NFL history, we are going to have quarterbacks go with the first four picks.
That's what I was about to ask. Has there even been the top three have gone quarterback before?
Certainly top two.
Plenty of top twos.
Many times. But and I'm sure three has two, but four has never happened before. Okay, let's talk about this from the Miami side. The Laremy Tunsil trade just continues to be unbelievable for them. They've now turned Laremy Tunsil into four first-round picks above average tackle.
And the main catalyst, of course, going back to that draft day, was the bomb
the
snorkel.
Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So Miami clearly going to stick with Tua. That's come out of this. Even after Miami. So Miami went to pick 12 and then they went up to pick 6 later on Friday with their trade for Philadelphia. Philadelphia gave up an extra first round pick to move 6 spots. And the weird thing is they're not even in position to take a quarterback from here. They moved up 6 spots to get like a tackle. I don't know. That was another one. Just Miami, the front office, just crushing it. I loved their offseason moves, Will Fuller and others, and now this. So a great opportunity for them. Now, the teams that get screwed out of this deal on Friday, the Panthers and the Broncos. These were teams picking 8 and 9, and both teams heavily, repeatedly rumored to be looking to make a quarterback upgrade, Brian. Now they're dead. Because now these quarterbacks are going to go, like I said, I think they go 1, 2, 3, 4 in quarterbacks. None of those four are going to hit pick 8. No. And it became that much harder to try to trade up for one.
It's the Mac scrap. They're going to be vying for Mac Jones.
I think
I don't think anyone wants to be talking themselves into Mac Jones. But
I don't love him.
No,
I think I don't know that
a small pocket of people love him.
There are Chris Sims loves him. But there are people who do.
I'm not.
So if you're the Panthers or the Broncos now, and by the way, let's be clear, the Jets are not moving. The fact that the Jets didn't take this deal, because you know the Niners called the Jets and offered the same thing to the Jets, and the Jets said no. So you know they're taking a quarterback. Yeah. So this means the Jets are taking quarterback. So we know the top three are going quarterbacks. Panthers and Broncos would have to try to maybe move up to Atlanta at pick 4 is about the only thing it can do if they want to try to get a quarterback. Otherwise, you could try to, if you're the Panthers or the Broncos, you could trade for a quarterback who has 16 pending sexual assault lawsuits against him. You could trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, a quarterback who is so unwanted that the Niners spent 3 first-round picks to avoid him. Or you could do the Mac Jones, as you mentioned. You could trade up with Atlanta or Cincinnati, maybe. Or you just start the guys you got.
Carolina and Denver should make a play for Gardner Minshew. He would come in and push both Bridgewater and Drew Locke on the Denver side.
Yeah, and you can get Minshew for a song now.
So. They're all in on Trevor Lawrence, of course, in Jacksonville. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, let's talk about some of the other big moves that happened from the wide receiver position since our last podcast, Brian, and then we'll go to running backs and we will go to tight ends in totality for this free agency period. So we begin with Kenny Golladay going to the Giants. This is your former team, the Giants. They have now loaded with offensive talent are around Daniel Jones to really, other than the offensive line, although in fairness, they've put a lot of, they've really tried to shore up their offensive line. Just hasn't worked. They're going to give Daniel Jones every opportunity to succeed this year.
Yeah, I'm more excited for Daniel Jones than I am Kenny Galladay. There's competition for Galladay when it comes to targets. Sterling Shepard still a factor, of course. I mean, Galladay is the best wide receiver on the team, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, by a lot.
Evan Engram, we think he sticks around, and then a healthy Saquon Barkley is going to command touches via the ground and the pass. So I still like Galladay. I think people might get a little too overexcited about him, bump him into the wide receiver 20 range. He was about wide receiver late 20s before the news, and this doesn't really change a whole lot for me, but it makes the whole offense better, and it boosts Daniel Jones' stock for sure.
It does. Jones is the winner here. Galladay's probably the loser because he goes down. He goes down in the quarterback quality that's throwing him goes down a full step from Matthew Stafford to Daniel Jones.
In fairness, if he stayed in Detroit,
he would have had Goff. Right?
So that
was never going to happen. That's right. So Daniel Jones becomes, to me, a very intriguing young player. And, you know, as a reminder, he played arguably the hardest schedule against the pass last year. He does make some really good and really bad throws. And you just, you know, part of that I just chalk up to him just style of play and also just him learning on the job. This becomes a make or break year for Daniel Jones. And unlike the Jets, who had a similarly, you know, young quarterback, couple of years in the league, surrounded with no talent, and the Jets really don't know what they have in Sam Darnold, the Giants are going to find out everything they need to know about Daniel Jones this year and have an answer one way or another.
Yeah, barring major injury to his weapons, if Daniel Jones doesn't get it done this year, then hopefully Gettleman realizes it's time to move on, but I'll
for himself, move himself on.
But well, yeah,
ideally
they'll both be hitchhiking on the parkway or the turnpike together.
T.Y. Hilton stays in Indianapolis. He turned down the Ravens for the opportunity to stay with the team he's been a part of for 10 years.
And no one wants to be wide receiver in Baltimore.
No, Baltimore's tried, too. Yeah, like, well, two teams are turning
down. Lamar Jackson can run, but can you throw
Juju Smith-Schuster, now I'll take less money and stay with Ben Roethlisberger's arm.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, this is the last. It was a one-year deal?
Yeah.
He's at that age where he should have went for the money, but I know we're just talking fantasy here, but it doesn't move the needle. He's on the decline, and you know there's an obvious quarterback change in Indy from Rivers to Wentz, which is kind of a lateral move. There's probably more upside
upside with Wentz. Yeah. The arm is so much better than what Rivers had at the end of his career.
But just the overall quarterbacking might not be that great for Wentz. The jury's still out on that. But yeah, Hilton's still where he is. He's a wide receiver. He's a bench player in redraft, and a dart in best ball, but nothing too exciting staying in Indy.
The Lions picked up what might be their wide receiver one in Breshad Perriman.
Yeah.
He might be the best receiver on roster.
Well, and then Tyrell Williams, we talked about last week. That's
gross.
That's like the most highly contested battle for the least exciting wide receiver one in the NFL. Tyrell Williams versus Breshad Perriman.
I think Perriman, if you can find the right spots, I actually think he's going to be good. And here's why. The Lions are going to be losing a ton, and assuming Perriman can stay healthy, there's going to be a lot of just bombs away, trying to catch up from behind, a lot of passing from Goff in a lot of these games as the Lions are obviously in a major rebuild. So I think Perriman's going to be one of those guys you can plug in from time to time. He'll be a super fun DFS guy and always has been. You can hit those big games with Perriman, you get paid big bank.
Yeah, we're looking at 100-plus targets easily from Perriman, so he's fantasy viable for sure.
Last receiver I want to mention that signed since our last show, DeSean Jackson. He'll play for two games for the Rams and then get hurt and it'll be over.
Speaking of intriguing DFS plays, that's all DeSean
Jackson.
That's all
he's ever is, right?
He's a best ball guy you want to stash on your bench. But yeah, if he stays healthy, he'll make some noise this year.
I'm sure when Antonio Brown won the Super Bowl, he was like, yes, I'm going to get this big payday. And, the teams are going to be clamoring for me. I was a significant cog to a Super Bowl team. Crickets for Antonio Brown, including his old team, that has brought back basically the entire team except Antonio Brown.
Yeah, the franchise tag on Chris Godwin did not help Brown's prospects. If that didn't happen, then it was probably a foregone conclusion he'd re-sign with Tampa Bay. But you know, they like Scotty Miller, mm-hmm. young guy. So yeah, they're pretty heavy at receiver. So, and a couple weeks ago we mentioned Brown seems like the only likely landing place at this point in his career and his mindset.
What landing place?
Re-landing place in Tampa Bay.
He needs to stay with Tom Brady. He does need to stay with Tom Brady. Anybody else? I think that's part of the concern is if you're any other team who has even passing interest in Antonio Brown, you got to ask yourself, which am I going to? Sure, he was fine while he was living in Tom Brady's house.
Baltimore. No one wants to play wide receiver in Baltimore. They need you, Antonio Brown. Double revenge games with the Steelers against the Steelers, I should say. Let's go.
Is it double revenge or single revenge?
Well, double in that we'll get twice.
Okay. All right. I'm with you on that. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's go through the free agent running backs: Chris Carson, Kenyon Drake, James White, Philip Lindsay, and many others. Notable running backs: Leonard Fournette. We talked about the Bucs bringing back the gang, Leonard Fournette, and him staying with Tampa. We'll talk about the fantasy implications of the running backs when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson with you. Let's recap the salient free agent running back moves from this offseason, beginning with Chris Carson, who re-signs with Seattle. To me, this was the best possible outcome for Chris Carson, and especially with Carlos Hyde gone. Now, the only thing that, and this is a team that's traditionally used a workhorse, it'll be Chris Carson. I feel like he's vastly underappreciated, and I don't see Rashad Penny as a threat. How do you see this?
Yeah, I'm with you. This is the best case scenario for Carson staying in Seattle. We touched on this a couple weeks ago. The most rushing yards since 2018, so the last 3 years, regular season games only. Derrick Henry, number one. Ezekiel Elliott, number two. Dalvin Cook, number three. Chris Carson, number four.
No listener would have thought that.
No, and that the line has essentially been garbage his whole tenure with the Seahawks, so it can only get
better.
But
Russell Wilson's thrown down the gauntlet on this, right? And if the front office is going to keep him, they need to protect him.
But there maybe were a couple landing places that would have been a little more enticing for Carson, but staying in Seattle is just fine, and he's undervalued right now. He's a guy everyone should be targeting.
I agree.
In Dynasty, Redraft, all of it.
I'm with you. One of the other landing places that could have worked out for Chris Carson was Atlanta. Yeah. And instead, they signed Mike Davis on a very cheap deal. And we saw Davis look awfully good. And he walks into a three-down starting role in Atlanta.
I feel like I'll be reminded of the Michael the Burner Turner days with the Falcons. They kind of seem like comparable players, but yeah, I love the move a lot. Falcons, always a potent offense, like you said. Mm-hmm. He's likely walking into a bell cow role. Todd Gurley, long gone. Not like he was much of a factor. And speaking of double revenge games, he gets Carolina twice a year now.
Yeah,
he's with the Falcons.
Yeah.
And then I did extended research because Davis has been around. He gets San Francisco this year, too.
Oh, yeah. He started there, I think.
Well, they drafted him. And he had a little marred injury history, but sadly no Bears or Seahawks on the schedule because he could have had the quintuple revenge game because he's all been in the NFC his whole career.
I
like the move for Mike Davis, and I like the move for Atlanta. Like you said, got him on the cheap.
Yep, and that's a three-down starter that nobody's really going to be thinking about. He's going to be an RB2 this year.
Yeah, he's top 24 range right now easily for running backs.
Kenyon Drake goes to the Raiders for 2 years. He will back up the oft-injured Josh Jacobs, and they're talking about having him play a little wide out as well, which is whatever. I don't care about that. But we've seen the backups behind Josh Jacobs have been plug-and-play guys, and Jacobs does get hurt a lot.
Yeah, Drake pretty much one of the key handcuffs going into the season if you invest in Josh Jacobs. And like you said, they want to use him at wide receiver. I'm not saying he can't catch the ball. He's proven he can over the course of his career, short career, but top 15 receiving yards once last year with the Cardinals.
All right.
Zero touchdowns. Kenyon Drake, wide receiver. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
James White resigns with the Patriots. His usage basically fell in half with Tom Brady out. I'm not very interested in this move.
No.
And
daily,
you know, if
daily flyer, DFS flyer
at best.
At best.
We'll see what they do at quarterback. Patriots aren't done at the quarterback position, I don't believe, and that could change our evaluation of James White. Philip Lindsay goes to the Texans, a 1 year, $3.5 million deal. I think this is the worst possible landing spot for Philip Lindsay. He's going to have to battle David Johnson and Mark Ingram, and I just think it's just too many mouths to feed.
The grossest backfield.
Yeah. Terrible offense with, we don't even know who the starting quarterback's going to be, a bad offensive line. There's nothing to like here.
Yeah. 3 years ago, these guys were top 24 running backs on draft day. Now all on the same team, and I don't want to touch any of them.
Nope. Damian Williams signs a one-year deal with the Bears, and you'll remember that Damian Williams knows Matt Nagy's offense from Kansas City, and he was with Bill Lazor when he was with the Dolphins, if you go back to previous spot. So a schematic fit here for Damian Williams, and he backs up David Montgomery. And, you know, while Montgomery clearly looked better last year, you know, I still think there's a plenty of room for Damian Williams to have a role in this offense. Tariq Cohen will come back, though, and muddy the works as well.
Yeah, you basically touched on it all. Bad news for Montgomery, basically. Williams will soak up some touches in Tariq Cohen, who played, what, 2-3 games last year before getting hurt. Clearly the alpha receiving back on that team. So,
right.
Yeah, bad news.
Montgomery's going to go way too high this year. That's going to be it's March. I'm planting my flag in. Don't follow the ADP on David Montgomery.
No, and it was justified before this move, really, because he did, like you said, he looked great second half of the year last year.
Great's a little strong.
Well, great for David Montgomery, or for a Bear in general.
That's,
no knock on Allen Robinson.
Right.
Allen Robinson, you're great, too.
Well, Bears runners. It's been a while.
Bears runners.
I hear Peyton was good.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams signs in Detroit for 2 years. The market was really pretty soft for Jamal Williams, but he gets out of Green Bay, and that it ends up that we have the re-signing. Well, maybe we should go back to the re-signing. So Aaron Jones re-signs in Green Bay. Jamal Williams goes to Detroit. For Aaron Jones, it's a pretty good outcome. He was already a top five fantasy running back, and now Jamal Williams is out of the mix.
I'm just envisioning someone with Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift on their dynasty roster, and they're like, yes, Jamal Williams is leaving Green Bay. he's going to sap my DeAndre Swift shares. And Adrian Peterson, cockroach unwilling to die. So, again, sort of bad news for Swift, but I think Williams had more standalone value in Green Bay probably than he will in Detroit. But, a handcuff at best.
At best. Marlon Mack staying in Indianapolis. He goes into a muddy backfield. I don't think we're going to be drafting him at all. Other quasi-notables, Mike Boone goes to the Broncos, where he will be the number two running back there, or at least as things currently stand. I think the Broncos are candidates to get a running back in the draft. I like Mike Boone. I've been a Mike Boone apologist here in Minnesota for a long time. I think he's requisite of RB2 on a team.
Yeah.
Second running back, and he'll get that with the Broncos.
At Melvin Gordon, we've seen the best of Melvin Gordon for sure throughout his career. He's probably still the better running back. But yeah, Mike Boone is a guy you want to keep your eye on, not just as a handcuff. He's a standalone backup I'd be looking at on draft day.
I don't want to really talk about these backups that have new homes, but Tevin Coleman to the Jets, Carlos Hyde to Jacksonville, Malcolm Brown to Miami, Devontae Booker to the Giants. These are all backups that need a break or something to happen before they'll have any fantasy impact at all. Leonard Fournette stays with the Bucs. What do you think? So he had the big playoff run. He was instrumental to getting them to the Super Bowl, and then I think he thought there'd be a big market for him, and it never really came together. And he languished on the free agency market for the better part of a week and a half, and then finally he had to just re-sign with the Bucs.
Yeah, what I think is what I should have thought more last year, especially playing daily, is just pretend the Bucs backfield doesn't exist.
I know. Don't chase that.
I want no part of it. Any format of fantasy football.
No, it's bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, the tight ends, and it was a lot of movement on tight ends.
I'm excited about one.
I know you are. I'm excited about one, too. We'll talk about the free agent tight end moves from this offseason when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back. Paul Tarchin and Brian Johnson with you. The free agent tight ends conversation begins with the Patriots because they got the number one and the number two best tight ends, and I've said it a million times. I'll continue to say it. Best head coach ever, Bill Belichick. Worst GM ever, Bill Belichick. I don't understand. I think I can understand signing one of these two, and I know you can play two tight ends a lot, and I know about Aaron Hernandez and Gronk playing together. Yep. Don't care. That was with Tom Brady, and this was and when they were at their height, they had Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and, you know, that was a luxury to have two tight ends. This is a team that had no good wide receivers, and instead of signing their second tight end, they could have had Kenny Golladay. You know, it's not even close. Well, you know,
worse is they paid Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne.
No, big money.
Like, then they could have signed Juju and Will Fuller. Like,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Head-scratching move.
Just baffling move. So, Jonu gets 4 years from the Patriots, and when he was the first guy to sign, they signed him right out of the gate with probably the flashiest day one signing.
Oh, bumped up to, like, top eight tight end easily right there.
Yeah, right then. In that moment, he was back right back into the top ten, even with Cam Newton throwing him the ball. You're like, they obviously love him. They paid him so much. And then 1 or 2 days later, the Patriots signed Hunter Henry for 3 years and a similar deal, like $40-50 million. Unbelievable. Yeah. And that I think it all but ruins the fantasy value of both guys.
In team tight end leagues.
Yeah, it's a good point. Team tight end, this is the best scenario there is. But yeah. I just don't know that you're ever going to be able to guess which guy is going to score. Even when you've got a primo tight end matchup, how am I supposed to know if it's a Jonnu Smith game or a Hunter Henry game?
Yeah. Tough to call from a daily perspective week to week. And when it comes to redrafts and even dynasty startups at this point, I just not touching it.
No,
they're going to sap each other's value.
So disappointing.
Immensely. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really unfortunate for both of those guys. And now if somehow the Patriots get themselves back to a meaningful quarterback, Brian, I don't know. They trade for Jimmy Garoppolo or Sam Darnold, maybe even, you know, if they have some semblance of passing prowess in the, you know, then maybe I'll reconsider. But I'm very, very nervous right now for Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. All right, let's go to Rob Gronkowski. He re-signed with the Bucs for 1 year. We saw a lot of his work get sapped up by Cameron Brait. And then, you know, trying to figure that out every week was almost impossible for fantasy owners as well.
Yeah, Gronk finished tight end 8-9 on a total points basis, but points per game, he was kind of brutal, had some really down
some
weeks.
Bad games, yeah.
CP played most of the season. That's why he was able to finish top 10 among tight ends. But he's a backup when it comes to fantasy. That bottom line.
Speaking of backups for fantasy, Jared Cook, who the Saints had zero interest in retaining, goes to the Chargers to fill in for Hunter Henry.
Yeah, and really Donald Parham, the Parham, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the other one correctly, but the former XFL star is a lot more exciting than Jared Cook. Honestly,
I think he is.
From a long-term perspective, maybe Cook outperforms Parham this year, but Donald Parham's really the guy to keep your eye on at tight end for the Chargers.
Anthony Ferkser re-signs with the Titans for 1 year. Without Jonnu Smith there, Ferkser becomes actually very interesting in this offense, and we've seen him perform well when Jonnu was playing hobbled for the you know, the last second half of the season last year. Ferkser was actually, you know, a guy you could throw a dart at from time to time. Now with Jonnu Smith gone, Corey Davis gone. I mean, think of all the targets that are gone out of the Tennessee receiving group. Anthony Ferkser is going to be a popular sleeper.
Yeah, he showed he could play last year. He had a couple really big games, like 80, 90 yards and a touchdown, and some big chunk yardage games. So, yeah, Ferkser's looking good. And really, Josh Reynolds, the only add for Tennessee at wide receiver, as you mentioned, not much of one. So
Adam Humphrey's gone as well. That's another vacated target. And keep in mind, the new offensive coordinator for Tennessee is Todd Downing, who was the tight end coach. I think those things can matter. It's just, you know, when you were the position coach, you know everything there is to know about that player and who can really be helpful for you. So I think that might ultimately help Anthony Ferkser. He's going to be one of my, it's March, but he's one of my favorite early sleepers, Anthony Ferkser. We'll save the best for last. You ready?
Speaking of favorites.
Go ahead.
Dan Arnold to the Panthers.
All right.
And I didn't appreciate how, it's not RotoWire anymore. What are the artists formerly known as
NBC Sports Elite or something like that?
They broke the news to me saying Panthers take flyer on receiving tight end Dan Arnold. Mm-hmm. 2 years, $6 million. $4.5 million of that six was guaranteed. That doesn't sound like a flyer to me. That sounds like
that's still kind of flyer territory.
Guy, and you know who's not the guy is Ian Thomas.
No, he is not.
Ian Thomas, by the way, top 10 in snaps as a receiver among tight ends last year.
What? God, he didn't produce like that at
all. Then that was the same amount of snaps at, you know, split out as receiver as TJ Hockenson. It was more than Mark Andrews, more than Robert Tonyan, more than Noah Fant.
And he
more
didn't catch anything.
20 receptions Ian Thomas had. One touchdown. Now, insert Dan Arnold. Playmaking Dan Arnold. Reunited with, I don't know if it's the OC or the tight ends coach off the top of my head, but from his days with New Orleans as a Saint. So,
okay,
you know, they lured him in to Carolina and mentioned it last week or a week or two ago. Arnold only saw 45 targets last year. To put that into perspective, guys like Hunter Henry, Noah Fant, Dalton Schultz, Mike Gesicki, Eric Ebron saw roughly 90 targets. And if you doubled Arnold's production on the 45 targets to 90, he would have finished with over 60 catches, 880 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's like top 5, top 6 tight end territory.
Well, sure, if I double his production.
Look at him. He's on an offense with Arizona. Well, not his production, just his targets. I mean, right. It's not apples to apples, but Dan Arnold stock way up in my mind.
Okay.
He is draftable as a backup tight end right now with tight end one upside, in that being a top 12 tight end.
Couple other notes that aren't necessarily related to running backs or tight ends. The Niners, they kept the highest graded tackle from last year by Pro Football Focus, Trent Williams, and then they added center Alex Mack, who played for Shanahan in Atlanta. And Mack's an older player now. He's 35 years old. But still, this I love the fact that offensive line, which can be very good, stays intact for the 49ers. And on the other side of the coin, the Raiders jettisoned four of their starters from last year. Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Richie Incognito, and Trent Brown are all gone. That is a lot of change on an offensive line. And, you know, we know that when you bring all these new bodies together, it takes like half a year to get the cohesion on that offensive line. And I think that line's going to be a wreck.
I'm with you. And one more team I think we should make mention of, again, is the Giants from a non-fantasy perspective, but it's going to have implications, is them signing cornerback Adoree Jackson, which might give them the best cornerback duo now with Bradbury on the other side. And that defense,
Adoree Jackson is not a shutdown cornerback.
He's not a shutdown shadow cornerback, but he's reunited with Logan Ryan from when he was good with the Titans.
Okay.
I'm just saying the Giants turning the into a team or a defense you want to fade on it, certainly from a daily perspective, just looking at NFC East teams, like the Giants are no doormat anymore, even though they're, I'm not going to get into Dave Gettleman. I'm done.
Last thing I'll mention about the Packers, they lost their center, Corey Linsley, who was a great player. And that's a sizable loss. Chargers pick him up. Love to see the Chargers working their offensive line, and I think they're going to hit it in the draft as well because they've got a great quarterback that they need to protect, and they've had offensive line woes for 20 damn years.
Yeah.
And I want to see them get better. So the Packers will be without him, and Aaron Rodgers was the least pressured quarterback last year. This could put a ding in that. Packers did get Robert Tonyan on a second-round tender, and he's unlikely to leave the team, and I'm glad to see Tonyan stay there.
Speaking of
the success he had.
Where is the big wide receiver signing for the Packers? I kind of expected that.
I know. What the heck? And I realized they didn't have money to burn. Bulaga was super expensive last year. You know, Aaron Rodgers is extremely expensive.
Well, Antonio Brown or Sammy Watkins. That's
Sammy
about
Watkins
it.
Sammy Watkins freaking sucks.
Dez Bryant. Ugh. Dez goes back to Green Bay where he can finally
catch it. That's right. Inbounds. Yep. That's right. Thanks, Brian. Great job. Thank you for listening, getting all the way through the podcast. Always grateful for those who take the time to rate, review, and subscribe to Fantasy Football Weekly.
We are ready for the draft.
Yeah, only a month away. Draft is 1 month away. We'll turn our attention to a lot of draft talk in future episodes.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.